Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to report the return of ET Universal Zone. Greetings and welcome, Mark and Phyllis. You are greatly missed.
Greetings and salutations to you.
Yes, greetings and salutations.
Thank you.
And everybody listening. I'm almost going, hallelujah. We're back.
Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I hope you did as well. And I've been thinking about you guys a lot. And I'm looking forward to what you have to teach us today.
Okay.
Yeah,
take it away, Pookie.
I'm just going to give the overview before we let Mark go because, you know, Mark,
okay,
he's got a lot to say. Well, we thought that since this will be our only show in December, that we should talk about the lights of the season, the light of the world, and give the perspective, the firsthand perspective from Mark on what the entire nature kingdom does during the holiday season. All of December is pretty spectacular for them, and they were talking about it before we came. We went live, and just some amazing things go on at this time of the year. So, Mark, you want to take it away?
Okay. They make you laugh. That's the thing about fairies and nature kingdom and the nature spirits and all of them. They bring cheer and joy. And it's no puzzle, I guess, to anyone thinking the holidays that are bringing joy and cheer to everybody, no matter what holidays we celebrate everywhere on the planet, there's a joyfulness with the holidays and the fairies and the nature kingdom, the elves. When I say nature spirits, I mean everybody from the unicorns to centaurs to fairies to gnomes, all kinds of fairies, and there's so many of them, and the elves, of course. And we have grass fairies. Now, even though snow covers the grass, they're still there. So they are not like every fairy in a blade of grass, but they take on areas of the grass. So I want people to think that, you know, you're walking on grass, you're not hurting a fairy. They want me to tell people that all the time. So the fairies bring joy, and they're very happy and cheerful. They love children's laughter, and they love singing, and they love to do that. So remember, one thing we like to tell people is that the fairies that are around your home, outside on the property and the trees, inside your apartments, trees, plants, whatever we have in our apartments, nature kingdom is there. And they think of themselves as part of the family. And that includes cats and dogs and everything else, because they think they're all friends and family. And I have seen my cat chase a nature spirit on the floor, and he was a gnome, and he's still here with us. He's a fairy elf gnome, that's what he is. So he's not a fairy, but he's an elf-like gnome. And he was running around in the hall, and I saw him physically run by me. He was about, at the time, he's not that height anymore, but at the time he was about 6.5 inches tall, roughly around that big, running in the hall. And he ran into our bedroom and took a right turn, which was around a dresser. My cat comes zooming around the corner, skidding like little Sylvester the cat chasing, like that, skidding, and goes into the room and stands there looking around and can't see it. And she turns around and looks at me and goes, meow, like that. And I said, well, you missed. He went under the bed probably. But he came through physically just like a cartoon character would run in a TV show. They loved to mimic and do things like that. He was holding his little cap as he ran. And it was the cutest thing to see. And it was I'm caught off guard when they do this. They always like to surprise people. So everybody, you're trying to tune into a nature kingdom spirit. They tell me, when we show ourselves to you in any way, especially physically in some way, that's a gift to anyone. Now, the way nature spirits like to show themselves to people is to let you know that they're trying to get your attention because they want to see if we as humans can see them or pick up on them. They will fly past our eyes. Peripherally, you will see a ball of light go by, like a white, pink, green, blue, purple, whatever color they want, gold. They do every color. And they'll zoom by, and they're like about the size of a big ping pong ball or a softball. They'll do anything like that. Zoom by and dematerialize it. They go right by. And people go, what the heck? I just saw a light flash by me. That's one way they get your attention. They want to see if you saw them. So if you do see flashes of light go zooming by, that bypass, you can go right by. or zoom past us in different ways, just saying, I saw that, I caught you, I saw you. So this way they say, oh, good, they did see us. Now we could try some other things. And the other things they like to do is to get your attention to just see. It'll run by on the ground or on the floor, and they might look like a little light, or they might look like an orb, a little spearish-like object glowing. And they're very short, too. They're not going to buzz through for like 10 minutes. They're going to come by real fast, like that, and they just go disappear. The other thing they like to show up as is little shadow people running by, or dragons, or little fairies like that. So you might see something running by on the floor as a shadowed person or a shade. Looks like a shade from a chair or something. It goes by. And you can see it running and everything, depending on who's showing up to run.
But
we've seen it here.
But yes, I have.
They fly off the plants, too.
But what we're really hoping to communicate tonight is that this entire family of elemental spirits that you have living with you, they may be in your plants, they may be in your stones, they may be in your crystals. Once you start to acknowledge that they are living with you and that they deserve respect, a whole other type of interaction begins to occur with them. And, of course, I know it because Mark can see them. And so they'll bless your food when you're cooking, and they also enjoy being given some of your food. So if you have a little tiny plate and especially sweet things. So, Mark, I know you can go off forever on this.
On the sweet foods, they love everything. We have one nature spirit here in a rock. She's a elf gnome. When I say elf gnome, that means they look elf-like and gnome-like, only because they look like an elf mostly. But the gnome is that who likes to stay underground or being around the rocks. So the gnomes in the parks and there's giant rocks in the forest that are outcroppings, those have huge gnomes in them. Sometimes they're 8 feet tall. And they sometimes definitely look similar to the gnomes in the gnome books and little red jackets or red hats. That's mostly in Ireland. But even so, in here, they might take on that look with the old man look with a little beard. Not all gnomes look like that. This is what happens when they get older. So they're trying to project that elder feeling. And if they're around humans a lot and trust us in any way, that's why if people have rocks on your property, give honor to the rock. You know, go over, talk to it once in a while, sit on it, say you like being on the rock or laying on the rock. The gnomes love that. They like that we're close to that frequency with them. And most of the gnomes I've talked to have said that they like that when children and adults play on the rocks, just sitting on them, dangling their feet, these big rocks, you know, that we see. But if you have a rock in your yard anywhere that you kind of like or you're drawn to, that's the gnome asking, calling to you to come close or just come look at me. So if whatever your rock on the properties look like, talk to them and just say how wonderful they are and how beautiful they are. And you say, thank you for your presence on my yard and my property. And what they do is underground, as well as underwater, the rocks underwater, they are working with the minerals and all the different things under the ground. And they utilize that in different ways for their frequencies. And they try to bring that nice energy towards your properties. Now, with the tree spirits that are trees on your property or near your properties, and anybody in an apartment building might have a small tree-like plant, even a small Norfolk pine little tree, they have elves in them, usually big, tall elves or, you know, 3 foot tall elves. But they're trying to tell me something. Okay, so they want us to know that they love us if we acknowledge them, because they're waiting to be acknowledged, because they really like to be around people, especially plants that are in your houses or around the yard. They love that. The ones who are a little scared of people are the ones in the deep forests who don't get to see a lot of people but see mostly wildlife. So when people come through the forest, they're always watching them, observing to make sure they're not dropping lit cigarettes or starting a fire that they forget to put out. So they feel nervous with people coming in, because they've seen people do things in the past where they lit fires and, you know, forgot them or something. But the more that we speak with the fairies and the nature kingdom, and you can do it just by whispering, you can do it with telepathy as well, but mostly whispers and talking out loud to them. This way they acknowledge that we hear them and see them. So we're talking to them like we're talking to our friends. and they acknowledge that with us. These fairies and the gnomes that we have here, and the different ones, different elves, have grown in stature for the many years they've been here. As we talk to them and teach them things, and you just teach them, just talk with them about things, they understand it, and they learn like children. Many fairies seem to be the ones in the forest, or the ones I've seen in the park. The ones that are around people in the park are very wise. They're very smart.
Mm-hmm.
But ones out in the forest, let's say, who don't see a lot of people, might have the capacity of understanding of some of them, like a five-year-old human, because they're just doing their job, their thing that they do with nature. That's their thing. But when we start talking to them or acknowledging them, they get excited and want to show stuff to us. So they might, in their best way, this is what one of them is telling me, in our best way, they say, we try to guide a butterfly or some kind of an animal towards the person to give them an exciting moment. But maybe the person thinks, well, that's weird. That bird just landed on my arm for no reason in the woods, let's say. Or a butterfly or a bumblebee will land on us. They like bumblebees and honeybees. And they like butterflies and other moths.
They love honey.
They love honey. and the thing is, they don't eat the honey. They take on the essence of the scent and the essence of the physicalness of the honey. So if it's honeysuckle flowers,
mm-hmm.
they love that. They guide the animals and the bees and everything to the pollens, and the ones that they see are good. What else do they love? They love candies, anything sweet.
Anything sweet.
We have one here. She calls herself Cake because she likes cake and all forms of sweet. So the joke is with her, and she's a stone. She's a little rock. But she tells us when we're in the store, our elf talks with one of my angels here, one of our angels, and they telepath the angels to me saying what Eflin, our elf, is saying about Cake, saying, don't forget to pick up something for a Cake. Like little things. What are they called?
Some little
pedophore, little tiny things. Yeah, that whole food, a little tiny thing. So we have to bring a pudding or some kind of thing, and we took a little plate. We have a little tiny plate, and we cut a piece of stuff, or we put pudding there, or whatever we got that's a dessert. We put that on a little plate, and they all share it. And what they do is they come over to the plate, and they all surround it. Different ways they do it, alternating with each other, but they hover over it. And they take the essence. I can see them breathing it in. Like they go, and they put their little hands towards this essence. And they love the essence, so it's molasses, maple syrup, again, honey. One of their favorite things is honey, and cakes of any kind, cookies. Mm-hmm. So anything, pie, doesn't matter. They love it all. Anything sweet. So that's called they love that essence. And what they told us is we use vitality frequency or energy. That's the words we use, so they use energy too. Vitality energy is what they push and direct into the foods we eat or we're preparing. So if you're making a salad, you can guarantee your little fairies from the house, plants guys, anyone listening, and if you don't have plants in the house, I talk to people who don't own plants in the house, but they do have trees and flowers outside. I said, those little fairies, they will come in, the elves will come in from outside and watch what you're doing, especially when you acknowledge them. Then they come in to give vitality to the foods because they know there's foods that are not having enough, the special minerals and everything they need in the farms. So they're telling us that they use their vitality frequency, their energy that they gather with nature to revitalize our foods as we cook or chop or whatever we're doing. And if it's GMO and we don't know it, they're trying to rectify that. They're trying to make it better and back as much as they can to an organic substance, they said. They sometimes can't change a genetic formula that's in a plant, but they do try to bring the vitality of the organics towards the plant, so we're eating more of that vitality frequency rather than a GMO. So they do try to change it as best they can. They've told me they do this all the time.
You have to make sure people understand. You have to, in the beginning, if you don't have plants in the house that would just naturally do that kind of work, you have to ask. for that to occur. And you could even ask your guardian angels. You could say, could you get have some of the nature kids tell them that we love them, and would they come in from where they are and help vitalize our food? And
yeah.
we're very grateful. So you start, you basically develop a relationship with the kingdom, and there nothing makes them happier than doing their work, which is what we're talking about right now. This is anointed work that the kingdom does. But if you don't ask for them to come in to bless your food and have show gratitude for it, they probably wouldn't think to do it.
They might not.
They probably
now, if a person has a garden in the backyard or fruit plants in your house that maybe give cherry tomatoes or something, that fairy or elf working with that plant, usually I see the elves are with the plants, the big tall plants, and I see the fairies working around hanging plants and flowers a lot more. So, but that doesn't necessarily, one of them saying, that's not always the way it is. So, okay, but I've seen it enough that the fairies seem to be flying on the plants we have hanging, but then I got, she's right, one of them's telling me, we got an elf in one of the plants too that's a hanging vine.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter. They take on the forms and play with the plants, and that's their body for now. So I can get into how you exchange their plants when one is getting old or dying, and they give you warning. They said, nothing's happening here. We can't fix this. This plant's
We're
done.
We're going to need another plant.
And they've done that to me.
But I also,
I'm out of this one.
Wait.
So we kind of go get a new one.
But also, I was sort of surprised maybe a month or so ago where you said, some of the gnomes were in the kitchen blessing the food,
Yeah, they
too.
Do. Yeah, because they're telling me they bring the minerals
so
and substances.
So you see, it's not just the elves and the fairies. It's also the gnomes.
Gnomes, yep.
Will participate in blessing your food.
Yep.
So don't underestimate any elemental item you have in your home, like a stone, like a crystal, you know, in any plant, cactus,
yeah.
whatever.
That's right. And we call it blessings because that's what they look like they're doing when they're doing it. They actually are putting their little hands out over the food you're preparing or in a pot that's cooking, anything you're cooking. Could be an egg, doesn't matter. They're putting their little hands out towards it and going, and the energy comes out like an aura, that we would see an aura flying out like energy like that around them. They also glow when they're doing it, so their little energy vitality glows around their body's form. So if people have seen a glowing fairy zooming by one day, you know, going by, that one's vitalized, and she's got vitalized in, from the sun, and the solar energy's coming through too. But if we have a hazy day, they still get their vitality all the way, because they even fly higher than the clouds, so they can go out into the space and come back. These kids are more than people think they are, these kind of little beings who become angels. They are the nature spirits, all the beings that will be angels. And the ones that work with a lot with people or animals, who love animals and people, those will grow towards becoming workers with humans or workers with souls. Could be, we have angels in space, many. So we have planetary angels, we have Christ angels, we've got solar angels, we've got all these types. But they, if they're coming around humans a lot, they might become a guardian if they make friends with some of the people that they like as souls on the other side. They might come in as one of your guardian angels in another life someplace, everybody listening, even on another planet. And that's the ones who always travel with us. They will say, well, if you're going to that planet system, I'll be working with you, and they'll have some friends, and they all work together with us to be there as a little group.
Which actually, now that you mention that, is part of a whole other teaching we do on soul groups.
Yeah.
So soul groups aren't just with other sentient beings, but soul groups are established with your elemental kingdom. Once you begin to acknowledge the elemental kingdom as part of your family, now basically you're establishing your future angelic friends. And as let's say you've graduated to oversoul level, now your kids that were, you know, plants, living in plants are are we still here?
We're still here.
Did we just?
No.
Oh, okay.
We hear clicking.
Are now great archangels that
yeah.
you're flying from, you know, galaxy to galaxy with. So, you know, the soul groups are not just with sentient beings. It is so, it's fascinating. So we have actually, if you start to think in this way, you realize the level of responsibility that we have for interacting with the entire kingdom in a holistic way. And you're forging relationships that will go down with you through time.
Yep, they do, through all eternity. And they're asking me to tell the story. They say the fairies' nature kingdom. They tell stories to other nature spirits out in the parks or in the other parts of the planet where they are, you know, if they're visiting other towns. They go on day trips, which to them is like a half hour, but they call it a day trip. And they'll go and visit places and come back with other fairies and an angel. Usually sometimes there's a field angel in charge of them, and they go as a little troop with the angel's essence with them so they can go together to another town or even like Southwest. They've done it. They've told me they've done this. Another one, they said, they think of the family of humans, but they're in the houses with us. They think of us as family, and they look forward to telling their stories of what they're humans or their people. Like we're almost owned by them. But what they teach or talk about, and they share that information with other fairies and elves in the parks and places who might not have ever heard of things that we all talk about, whatever it is, because they're into their total nature and their job, what they do as plant divas, or not divas, plant spirits or tree spirits. So they say that we listen to people and we learn from people. So careful what you all say out there, people. No, they know what swear words are. They know what they mean most of the time, not all of them. But they also know that they're not supposed to say them. So they don't say too much of that, no, if people are asking me about that one time. Now, they went down to Rockefeller Center to see the giant tree down there. This was their day trip, they said, the other day. 2 days ago or so, whatever, they went to go see the big tree. They said that the tree has 25-foot tall elf tree spirit, and his name is Sholton, S-H-O-L-T-O-N. If you go down to the Rockefeller tree, say, "Hi, Sholton, how you doing?" Touch his branches if you can. I don't know if they allow
you
to touch his branches. Yes, and thank you for your sacrifice, because these trees and these elves that are in them, most of the time I've seen Christmas tree type trees and elves are in them more than I've seen gnomes or anything, but they usually look like an elf, and they're male or female, doesn't matter. They project. They might look Native American in their essence too, or just like the Peter Pan look, whatever people, that's what they look like sometimes. And they have green skin or beige skin, doesn't matter. They put any color on themselves, or green, dark green skins. So this giant elf, knew that his tree was picked by his owners where he lived. And they all know sometimes this can happen, especially little trees in Christmas tree parks, farms.
Okay.
They all know they're picking a time to come into a life in a tree that's very limited, but it's okay with them. They understand it, and they understand the sacrifices that they are. So when people say, "We got to take these trees off the property, because they're in the way of this or that," and they're hearing the people talk about it on the yard. They hear it, they don't like it, but then they understand, and they go, "Well, okay." You know, so they kind of give in. But if anybody ever had a hard time trying to cut down a tree, this is what an elf is telling me right now. If you ever had a hard time cutting down a tree and it just wouldn't move right, it's because the tree spirit was not asked and was a little upset that you're trying to take it now. But usually they give in as time goes. But they like to make it a little difficult just to get the message. Now, if you talk to your trees and talk to them and say, "We're going to have to do this and move this property to this part, you guys have to be moved. If we can move them and pot them again in the ground somewhere else, great. If it's a small tree, fantastic. If it can't be, tell them, 'Look, I'm so sorry this is going to happen. I'm going to let you know this is going to be happening and just give you a warning. And we thank you for all that you've given to us and the shading you've brought to our property and the beauty you've brought to us during your time here.' And just give it love like that." And, you know, people can also do little blessings to them.
You know what else they could do?
You know, a little sage, whatever they want to do.
Now that you're saying that, you could say, look, if you'd like to come with us to the garden store and pick out another tree that you would like to be in, we'll replant
we'll plant it
somewhere else on the property where it won't interfere with anything and where you can still be part of our family.
Yep, you can do that.
That would be the smart thing to do.
Yep, especially if it can't be replanted, like a little pine tree.
Yeah, if it's just coming down, then you should at least say to that spirit if you'd like to go shopping with us.
Yeah. these stories are true because there are things that happen in Ireland, and anyone who knows stories of Ireland's fairies and elves know that these elves and these fairies are serious business when it comes to their things that they consider their home, their area, their mound, or their trees. And throughout time, people might say that's the fairy tree of town. Don't do anything to it. You know, they'll fence it too. They'll even put a number, like a building number, on the tree or the mound or the rock to honor the being there, and as if it's a postal spot. So they give it a spot. And people have tried to go put a road through an area in a town that had a fairy tree there, and for hundreds of years, everybody knew the fairy tree. They actually see lights around the tree in the nighttime. They see the lights there. Not fireflies, and the people warned the people coming through. They said, "Well, you probably won't be able to do anything to that fairy tree. They'll come after you. You can't do that." Well, no matter what they did, things went wrong trying to get the plows to work and knock the tree down or dig around it or whatever they were doing. Things would get stalled, break down, tip over, not work at all, and until they decided not to do anything. And say, okay, we're going to make the road or whatever a different area. We'll move it around over this way. Everything would work again for them. So this is true stories of what they can do and will do to our equipment if they feel we're threatening them. And it's an ancient spot for them, like a very sacred spot for them. And there could be water underground that they consider their vitality waters. And people have to be wary of the incredibleness of Nature Kingdom and the nature spirits and who they are and what they do. And I've seen storm angels. I've asked for information from them. These are huge angels that are storm angels, and they work with the directing of the sylphs of the sky with that, storms that we see, even snowstorms. And connections are amazing, what we've got with some of the beings that we've talked to, where they've done actual miracles for people. One of our friends a long time ago.
But I don't know
if I should even go into that one.
Well, there are problems with man-created weather.
Oh yeah.
Which
right.
is sometimes difficult for the nature kingdom to work with, and they, you know, they can't overrule it because there's
yeah, they can't. Yeah, like harp or what these other things are, they're actually creating frequencies that adjust and actually bother the nature kingdom and the sylphs. So some things go on that are not supposed to be going on. And all you could do is just start praying and asking for help on the higher beings, let's say, the creator. I'm trying to get into this, Phil, with the lights. So they love lights. If you have little white lights or fairy lights or colored lights in your house that you decorate and put on a window, or you just put it around a plant or around your little trees, we have lights all year round in different areas of the house. We have all pink lights in one spot only. They love that. They love the colors, and they love the white lights too, little fairy lights that twinkle. So they're very excited when they see lights, and they love that. Somehow they utilize some of that energy of the light. I don't know how they do with the electrical, but they do use that with the frequency with their energy. So they like to sit on them or lay around on them or walk in between them around a plant. Or they love hanging out in Christmas trees that are decorated. If you might see an orb or an ornament or something moving by itself that makes no sense, it's a fairy. We've seen them doing that. They sit on rocking horse-looking ornaments. Anything looks like something they sit on and play, they will do that. I'm trying to cover some of the things that we've seen as well and how they play.
Well, yeah. The other thing is with the lights, they also like sparkly things.
Oh,
so
right.
if
That's
you want
a,
to give them
stuff.
A gift, we have adorned most of our plants in the house because once we gave a jewel to one, we had to then give jewels to all of them.
Yep. They get, they're so cute. They're just like little kids. But if they have to share, they will. But we, they saw something in a magazine we were looking through one day, and we would never have gotten it. But now when they saw it, they saw, oh, it's not that expensive. One of them knows all about money. One of them can she goes, that's not that expensive. It's like a dollar. So we're looking at, oh, gee, this kid. So she's the elf. She's huge. And she says to us, well, if you've got different colors, because they had different colors, these little spheres, they look like acrylic spheres. They hang like an ornament. They're very small, about a half-inch diameter at the most, not even. But inside are, one looks like clouds. Inside, another thing might have some other kind of leafy things or shimmery things. So they saw that, and then we had to get one of each. And we have hanging on plants with Christmas hooks and stuff. So they have a lot of fun with this. Anything crystally, if you hang these things, or you can put a, beautiful crystals that you love. Remember, in all these crystals are little fairy-like gnomes, tiny little, I mean, sorry, fairy-like elves, not a gnome. A lot of times it's a fairy elf looking. She looks like, or he looks like a little elf with little wings on them. And they can take the wings on. They just, those just appear. They put them on if they want them. So it's more, what's in a crystal always looks like a little transparent-y, crystal-like looking fairy that has pointed ears and very cute and tiny. But they're not always tiny, even though the crystal might be 2 inches long or half an inch long. That little fairy with that crystal might be 6 inches or 12 inches tall. So, because I've got seen them all around here.
Also, I have to just remind everybody, don't put your crystals in a closet or in a drawer or in a jewelry box. They hate that. Keep your crystals out.
If you can't hang them in a closet or just leave them on a dresser somewhere where they see the light, that's what they like. If they're hidden away and closed up, they don't like it. And it happened to me many years ago at a person's house, and I went into one of the rooms, and I heard a little voice calling, help, like that. And I was like, what the heck? What's that? So we got our friend in and said, there's somebody calling for help, but I get the feeling it's a nature spirit. But we couldn't figure out why, because she didn't have any plants at the time.
Who was that?
One of our old friends.
Oh.
So she didn't have a plant, really. And I said, well, there's somebody calling. Do you have any crystals? I said. And she goes, oh, yeah, I do. So she remembered that she had a crystal by the side of the bed, but not on the bedstand anymore. She put it in a drawer. But she pulled the drawer open, and there's this crystal. And the little fairy yells, yay! She said, I've been trying to get her attention. I want to come out. So we told her, just put her on a shelf or put her by the, wherever you want. Just put her out on a shelf any place near a window or just on the dresser. That's what they like, as long as they're out and about. And you always can rinse them off with cool water with, you know, like a little salt if you want. Imagine it's a wave coming over them, cleansing them. They tell me all these different ways that people can cleanse them. Besides with a little match, you can light a little incense stick or a match and just go around the little crystal three times and three times around the pointy ends, around the bottom. You know, just go around them, and that cleanses them too. People can put some out on the window where the sunlight hits them for about a half hour, so that's okay. What's some other things here I got? I have lists of stuff to talk about to everybody. So not only is the winter time or Christmassy time or the day was chosen to be a day of celebration, to bring the light of the world to our planet systems. Here we are, light of everything, creator, everything. Nature spirits love everything about light.
And the music that's especially the happy music of this entire time brings them tremendous delight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, one of the fairies is telling me, don't forget to say the flavors of things we like to play with and our essences. So they want me to repeat, maple syrup, honey, candy, chocolate of any kind, chocolate sauces or any kind of sauce, butterscotch, caramel, etc., they told me. Vanilla, they love all these smells, and cinnamon what's the other flavors people like?
Nutmeg.
Almond, yeah,
oh,
nutmeg.
Yeah.
They love all those smells that go with
vanilla.
Foods.
Mm-hmm.
And vanillas and everything like that. So it's funny, maple syrup is one of their favorites, and that's the one I don't always put out for them. But honey is always the staple. They love honey. So any flavor honey you got, put a little teeny piece of a teaspoon out. You don't even, not even a whole teaspoon. Just put a little drop on it.
Say an eighth of a teaspoon.
Yeah. Just a little drops. You could just put it on a little tiny plate or a thimble, whatever you got, or a bottle cap. They love that stuff. Shiny objects of all kinds. So they told me anything that shimmers and sparkles, they love. A decorative ornament that sparkles and shimmers. You could use it as a toy for them. People, you can just hang it on something that they can play with. Like we have a big mirror, and we have some things hanging there that are little fairies, all sparkly and shimmery. I put them up, we have them all year round there to be in honor of them, actually. I also have a dragon. So they like mirrors, fake crystals, or they like real crystals, but little fake Schwartzky crystals or things like that. Shiny, shiny coins, like shiny brand new pennies or shiny, shiny dimes. And 20-some-odd years ago, I put shiny, shiny, brand-new pennies in each of their pots as a decoration for them. And I said, here it is, here, you can play with that. You know, I went back another time within a month, and I could not find the penny. That means that they took the penny to the next dimension where they are. And people have said, oh, you know, my earring's missing, or I dropped it and it disappeared, or maybe, you know, something happened. Not always a bad thing, but sometimes the little fairies borrow things to play with. I told them they shouldn't do that because people would get upset. So if something goes missing, if it's an accident too, it could be an accident, but we're just not seeing it, you can ask your house fairies there and elves and say, hey, I'm missing this ring or this whatever, earring or nose ring, whatever it could be, anything, or this stone, this little stone. I'm missing it. And I don't know if I misplaced it, but if you guys can find it, can you locate it for me, guide me to it, or bring it to me in some way? Because they can do that if they really try with the angels.
They take a lot of joy in hiding things. And you can put something down, and it'll, you know, yeah, right in front of you, you won't be able to see it. And then they'll let you see it.
that's their game. Yeah, true.
They amuse themselves. They think it's funny.
They do. They want to see a reaction. Also, they want us to get a reaction because they're telling me right now, one of these kids here, he said, no, sometimes they do that because they want our excitement and to see us get upset for a moment, but they go, when did I do it? And we start looking around, and they think that's funny. We're going around looking everywhere we put it, but we know we put it there. I know I put it there. No, you're looking everywhere. And then you go, have a heck with you. Relax nonchalantly. Just relax and go, whatever, it'll come back. Then you turn around, there it is right there where it was. All the time. And they're thinking that's funny. So what would you do in that case, they're telling me here? Acknowledge the fairies, acknowledge the elves, everyone who might have been playing along, to get your attention. You just want to see if you're having fun with you and say, that was fun, I get it, it was a cute little game, but I'm telling you, it's real serious to me. Please don't do that to my ring or my this or that. But if it's a hairpin or something that you don't care about, okay, don't care, that's okay, play with it. So always give them little toys and trinkets, and they will honor that with us. That's why Phyllis and I are always giving them little gems, little things that we get.
I'll make them a little bracelet.
Little toys, yeah. You like those little crystals you get for making bracelets and things. She made a little tiny, tiny ring for one of our little air plants that our good friend Jill gave us. So the little air plant, her name is Kia, not a car, but she's Kia. And she loves sparkly things. They look like diamondy things. So Phyllis made a little tiny bracelet, probably for a little girl. And we put it around her little base, and it shimmers, and it's so pretty. And she's, like, all excited about it because it's silver and diamondy.
And it's hers.
And it's hers. It's like, it's mine. And they're funny. They really funny. You can't make one thing for someone. You got to give, okay. And I'll tell the big elf. I said, look, everybody's sharing that, okay? You're all sharing that over there. And they go, okay. So they get it. But one of them wants something so cute, they're trying to get your attention for something sparkly. So guys, whatever you find, if you find a sparkly rock on the road, which I did one day, a mica rock, it was really pretty, and I knew the fairy was calling to me, so I brought it home. I could not resist. I had to pick it up and get it and go back and get it. I actually did that, and I put it in one of the fairy plants here that we got, the big elf plant, and it brought joy. It really does. It's a shimmery little rock. It's so happy and sparkly. It's a, like a little meteorite that shimmers. So this little stone brought joy to the other fairies, but all I knew is the fairy of the stone was seeing me walking on the sidewalk, and out of all the people as I walked by, it was calling to me, calling, take me, get me, help me. I think it was a stone that came from the gravels. You know, when they roads, they do things on roads, but it's about 2 inches long, and it's very cute and precious and pretty, but it's a dark, dark, almost a black, and the mica sparkles all over it.
Okay,
so,
Mark, that's such an interesting point you're making there, because I think that they can identify...
Yeah, they see your aura.
They can identify your aura, yes.
Yeah.
And so they are reaching out to you.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's why if you have your mind on the nature kingdom, the angelic realm as well, but if you love your plants or love nature, they see that in our aura. They see a reflection of green and tree effects or flowers and plants, because we love them all. And if you're looking out into your backyard, let's say everybody who's maybe have a backyard, or I don't, we have an apartment building, but when I look out,
courtyard.
We have courtyards and people have flowers, so I'm always looking down there. And one time hummingbird came up and hovered in front of the window and just like looking in. A couple of times that happened.
Wow.
So when we see the flowers and we say thank you to them and the trees and your beautiful backyards, give thanks in that way and say thank you for your beauty you bring to my environment here where I am, my house, my trees, my flowers. And that impression goes into our subconscious, which of course reflects into our auric energy field around us as a thought form. And that's what the fairies in the nature kingdom are seeing around our aura. If you love animals and you love cats and dogs and birds of all sorts, the birds are in your aura. They see them as like mirror, pictures. A moving picture maybe of a flying bird or your cat jumping up or your dog running by, and they know this person likes nature, likes animals. So they follow us. They come towards us if you're in a park. They want to see what we're about. And if they like us, they want to follow us more.
Well, you know what's interesting about our kids, especially Eflin, will come out. If we're going shopping at Trader Joe's and we have to walk up from, around the 80s up to the 90s to get to Trader Joe's, sometimes she'll come with us. And as we're walking...
The West 80s.
on the west,
yeah.
Side. She'll stop along the way talking and looking at the places that have plants,
yeah,
for sale.
Or the plants on the road in the trees. And sometimes people who sell flowers, they'll have those flowers out in pots, like to be sold as flowers and tree, to bring home with you. And she'll talk to them and talk to them about what they said. So she's also the one that will come to me and say, you got to take this one with you. And I can't take that one with us. We got too many of you guys here. So, she's saying, don't forget to tell about snake plants, because she's a snake plant. Right now she's a lot of snake plants. She has babies, and I just keep potting them. So if anybody needs a snake plant, we got snake plants. But she told me, let everybody know about snake plants. They're these green, tall snake plants, look like stripes and horizontal stripes on them, also known as a mother-in-law's tongue. That's another look of them. They're green with yellow outer edges. Mine are pure green, all green, like a mackerel, like a fish, looks like that. So there's different kinds of these types of snake plants. But the thing about a snake plant, and the Eflin wants us to know this, to let everybody know, is they're unique among the plant kingdom. They give oxygen at night, where the trees and the normal plants out here give oxygen during the day. So a snake plant is a good plant to have in your apartment. They're easy care. They don't need a sun direct or any of that. And they're hardy. So if you forgot to water them for a week, they're fine. And if you put them in your bedroom, a couple of plants in your bedroom bring oxygen during the night as you sleep. So if in the daytime in your house, we have two big ones of Eflin's, two of her
oh,
progeny,
wow,
here in the bedroom. One is like 4 feet high. And we got two out here, maybe three of her out here. These are babies that have grown. And I just can't just give them away because, they're very particular about people and who to give them to. And then they'll find, she will find somebody, another elf, who might want to be in that plant. And a lot of times elves and these fairies will take care of plants that have no other elf or fairy in them because they might be part of their babies, let's say a baby snake or a baby spider plants and aloes. So they will find a fairy or an elf, most of the time it's an elf. They'll go to the park and see if anybody wants to have a home in a human's house, and they'll find who they can, and they'll bring them here, and we pot them into another pot. And then that could be a gift to someone that they've approved of.
Yeah, but
oh my
see,
gosh, they don't want us to just give them our pot.
It's very tricky. You cannot just give a plant to somebody that you don't know how they're going to treat that plant.
Yeah, they see the energy field of people. So they tell me, okay, you can give some of the babies to one of our friends in New Jersey. She knows listening right now. Madeline. They say, you know, Madeline's good. She knows how. She's a good girl. So Madeline's got a few of our kids over there that Eflin and the fairies gave their babies over to another elf or fairy. And Madeline has the names of them, so she talks to them. So that's the way they go with these kids for us. So it's not like, you want a plant? No. Okay, I can't give a plant away. So we have to talk with them always. What's the more stuff we were
going to
say?
Well, I mean, you know, going back to our initial premise is that, you know, this is a family unit you're dealing with when you have your elemental kingdom that you actually acknowledge in your home and in your yard and all of that. This becomes family for you, and it's a treasure. It's an absolute treasure, and so in other words, you love them, they love you. You are loved back. We have some of the gnomes here that if you're not feeling well, they say, just pick me up and hold me.
The rocks.
And they'll impart energy.
One of our rocks is big, and his name's Holden, and he's a heart-shaped giant rock. And he says, I know I'm too big and heavy and clunky, but put me on the floor and tell your friends to put their feet on me and rub their feet on me. So he likes to be under your foot, rubbed, like just put your foot on him. And everybody feels it. They feel him. Some people come and lay on the couch here, on the couch with the stones on their chakras and on their forehead, and they get totally essenced out in peace. Or the feeling of the sanctuary comes in here with their energy. Something she's telling me to remind me, okay,
Are you talking about Eflin?
Yeah, she's the spokesperson. Okay, she said, don't forget, when we're cooking or anything with food, they're trying to take away the GMO effect, creating as best to natural and organic as they can with their essence and vitality, as they call it, and take away negative energy from foods. Like people we don't know who prepared salads, let's say, or if you bought something from the store, or you know, you're buying fruit from the stand and you're bringing it home, so we don't know. So they definitely take away frequencies that might be from other people's thought forms if they held them. They might squeeze something and we didn't know. So they're saying, nah, nah, nah. So that energy goes into the plants and the fruit. So they're saying, we could do that. We can and cleanse it all from that energy or anybody or any kind of thing like that's negativity around it. And they want. They also say, give us those jobs because we look forward to helping when we can. We like to help people, and we like to help babies and children and dogs and cats and birds, everything. So your pets and everything.
So what we're saying, and I think the real takeaway here is if you begin to appreciate that your gratitude to them, it goes, it's you can't even put a price on it. If you actually have genuine gratitude toward the creation and toward the work that they do individually for us, because they're in divine will, they operate under divine will, and you start to express gratitude, now you're really developed. Now honestly, it changes you. It changes you.
You don't look at another tree or anything on the road. I pet them all as I walk down the block. And what we say to them, you're going to hear this first here, anybody listening for the first time. The words that the elves told me to use is dolte nikti kana tano. Dolte nikti kana tano. That's their elfin speech or their fairy speech, and that's the way that they greet each other. So if you're walking in the forest or walking on their park or sidewalk and there's plants and flowers and trees, I pet the tree and I say dolte nikti kana tano to them, and they tell me their names. As I walked down the block one day, we had a new tree. Somebody planted a new tree in the sidewalk, and it's a beautiful tree. And I walked by it, and I said, "Dolte nikti kana tano." I touched her leaves, and she says to me, "I'm She just tells me her name right away. I'm Alta, she goes. So when I walk up the block, I pet Alta. And I pet her every day or if I'm walking by her. Even in winter, when her leaves fall off, she's a big twig, a beautiful twig, actually shaped so beautifully with the twigs of its branches. And this is, they tell you their names, or they'll give you a sign of some kind like that. Be open to them and loving, just as you would to a child or to a little a cat or a bird or a dog or puppies and kittens, and just tell them how beautiful they are. Thank you for the beauty and the essence you bring, the scent, the flower smells. Thank you for the shade you provide and the home you provide for birds and insects as well, butterflies, etc. And you just say to them that you are needed, you are wanted, and we love you, and thank you for purifying the air for us. This is the thing that they look for, recognition and thanks. They are recognized for what they do, and that's their big job to them. It's really big to them. And including the water fairies, the little water sprites and all those little kids, if you're near lakes or brooks and everything, there are water fairies there that look like little tiny mermaids, and sometimes they're big. And I've seen the mermaids in the ocean. They're very big. They're like 6 feet, some of them can be bigger. But nature spirits take any form that they like that mimics what they love to play with. So if they like fish, you're going to see a fish formed, in a formed body of some kind on that little fairy, maybe with wings. Has anybody seen that movie called Fairy Tale in 1997?
Great movie.
An old movie, but it was based on the Cottingley fairies, which was based on the two little girls who actually had visual sightings of fairies at that time. But they one of them took the camera from they were given a gift to the camera to take pictures of the fairies, but the pictures they took, they doctored by cutouts and everything. And one of the articles that they're passed on now, the two girls, cousins. But one of the girls said to the person interviewing her, she said, "Were those real fairies on those leaves?" And she said, "Well, from where I was sitting, I could see the hairpins." And it's a famous picture of her sitting there with the fairies on dancing. But they did hairpin pictures. But in the old days, in the 30s and 20s, when was it, the 20s, right? 1917. They couldn't tell back then.
Around the Arthur Conan and Doyle time.
Yeah, he gave them the camera, one of them. So.
No, I think their father was a photographer. The bottom line, though, just the essence of this whole thing was that
newspaper people to give them some
they
stuff.
Could
yeah.
see the fairies. So in their mind, they weren't doing anything wrong. They were just trying to help their mother get over the death of their brother. And so they just thought, since we know they're real, let's take some photographs and tell mother they're real to make her happy.
Now, the first time I saw the original book, a person I knew who was in her late 80s, early 90s, had the original book from the 1920s when the first books made, and she loaned me the book to look at. And as I looked through the pictures, I said to her, "These are not real. These are fake." And she goes, "Oh, no, they're guaranteed real. No, no, no." And I said, "Oh, don't make her upset." But I did go through the book and found one of the pictures of the bower, that the girl took. And that was a real photo. But you don't physically see anything there, but there is an image in the picture that I saw that's a fairy. But that was a bower that she took where she did see the fairies. That was the one that had the real essence there, because it was a fairy in the essence of the picture's energy. So I said to my friend, I said, "This is the real picture, but there's no physical fairy to see, but there is a fairy in the picture." But the other ones were fake and cutouts and artwork. So they proved that they were art and all that now.
But the bottom
ancient
line is what we were talking about was the movie Fairy Tale.
Fairy Tale.
So it's a brilliantly, brilliantly produced movie that I think everybody should watch it because it's absolutely enchanted. I thought it was brilliant.
It was, and the clothing they made the fairies wear, or the people dressed as fairies in the movie, was mimicked perfectly the way fairies do things. It was exactly the way they make clothing to fit with things that they love or adore, like acorns. Yeah, they will put a little acorn effect hat on themselves, or they will put a little dress that looks like the leaves of the plants that they love. And you know what's a really beautiful flower? A petunia is one of those little tiny flowers.
Daisies?
Daisies, and they're multicolored.
Tulips and...
It means petunias and tulips, yeah. You know how tulips are variegated. They will dress in clothing that mimics their flower that they're wearing in their clothing. So you might have leggings on a fairy that mimics a variegated flower of some kind of pattern, or stripes, or like one of ours is going now. They love candy cane. So he's telling me they'll put candy cane mimics on their clothing in Christmas time and all these things.
Oh,
like
wait a minute. You have
holly leaves and all.
He was saying that earlier. He said, don't forget to tell them that we use all of the decorations of Christmas to
decorate themselves.
Upgrade their outfits during this time of the season.
They actually have contests to outdo each other for fun. They actually do this, guys. Everybody, listen, they really do put on clothes and acts and they make purses. They do all kinds of things. In fact, when boom boxes were popular, they would mimic the boom boxes on their shoulders and walk around with it like it's blasting music. But it wasn't doing anything. It was just them mimicking it. They love mimicking people. So if you're walking in the park a certain way or dancing, you'd be sure to be followed by some fairies and elves dancing behind you, trying to mimic what you're doing and jumping around you. And that's what their joy is, to bring joy and happiness. And if you're feeling sad, go sit with the plants. Talk to a tree. Go hug a tree.
Hold a stone.
Hold the stone, yeah. Hold the stone. Hold your crystal. And sit quietly and talk to them, because telepathically as well, but whisper to them. They love it. Tell them thank you for everything. Thank you.
Okay, we're running out of time again.
Oh, my gosh, you're right.
Yeah, I was just about to come in and say, on that note, let's share some contact information. Thank you for bringing this joy into the show. Are you going to also cover devas or nature angels, as you call them? And also I was going to ask you if you are in contact with the Shi. The Shi are the angels that are most like people?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Future shows.
Yeah, and they're in the woods. People might call them what do they call the different names that they gave the little girls running in the nakedness of the forest?
No, that's the sky sylphs.
The dryads, or these other kind of names they gave them in the ancient times. These are the ones that look like people. And
yes,
some of
them
are called fae.
Like people, but they're very fae.
Yeah.
But that's
another group, too. The fae is another group. Yeah.
All right. And so the way to get in touch with Mark is Mark, M-A-R-C, Brinkerhoff, B-R-I-N-K-E-R-H-O-F-F, at yahoo.com.
And intergalacticmission.com.
Intergalacticmission.com, etuniversalzone.com, where we will put this show in a little while. We'll put it up.
And
also Facebook, and you can follow him on Facebook and also on YouTube. He has a YouTube channel.
And if you want to see my art, it's markbrinkerhoff.com, just that. You'll see my artwork there. That's all self-taught stuff I came in with. I've never taken lessons from anyone. So that's the story, and we're going to stick to it.
We just want to wish everybody happy holidays. We hope it's blessed and everything good
joyful
comes to you. All of the, and that many fairies, elves, gnomes, dragons, unicorns, and Pegasus all delight you.
Oh, guess what? They're yelling at Hercules. They're yelling, don't forget the marshmallows and your hot chocolate and whipped cream. We love that.
There you go.
That smell.
Thank you very much, Mark and Phyllis. As always, you're awesome. And again, thank you for bringing so much joy into the show.
Thank you.
I will be calling you this weekend because there's some things happening in January. So I'll talk to you about that then.
Okay.
Again, thank you so very much. Thanks to all our listeners as well. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in you're patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you'll be checking us out through Mark's link or any one of the other links that are up about the show. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thanks again, Mark and Phyllis.
Thank you, Hercules.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Love you all. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.